really important passage from Hebrews tonight about discipline. And I want to tell you a story from my time in Rome when I was a seminarian. So at the seminary in Rome, it's called the North American College, there's a really cool basketball court, because the court exists not far from St. Peter's, and it's up on what's called the Janiculum Hill. So you can actually shoot jumpers and see the dome of St. Peter's in the background, like epic. I mean, that's like really close to my heart. It's like, this is probably what heaven's like. I'm shooting jumpers with the dome of St. Peter's in the background, right? And so we'd play basketball a lot. And one time we were playing a game, all the guys were out, and I got my feet tangled up with a guy from New York, Father Peter Purpura, a big, tall, 6'8 guy, super smart, super good priest, solid man. He's back ministering now in New York. And I got my feet tangled up, and so I put my hand down as I was falling, like natural, and, you know, just caught myself with my hand. And I knew I jammed it, but I didn't think much of it. In fact, played two more games. And then as I was showering, started to puff up, puff up, puff up. And I'm like, there's a problem here. There is a problem. And what happened was I had fractured, not all the way through, thankfully, a metacarpal. And I don't know if you know your bones. Nurses, you do, don't you? You know your metacarpals and your metatarsals. And you know that those bones, when they get injured, take a really long time to heal because there's not much blood flow, which is a total spiritual lesson in and of themselves, right? If there's no blood flow, healing is hard. So I had a problem, right? And if you don't heal those bones, they can die. And then you have a necrotic bone and you have a giant problem then. So like, I better go get this checked out. The nurses at the NAC, they're great Sisters of Mercy. And they're like, yeah, don't go to the hospital. Italian healthcare is a disaster, right? So we knew of these German orthopedics who had an office in Rome. So I go to the Germans, and it was like literally leaving the country as soon as I walked into their office. Everything was ordered. It was prompt. It was on time. It was German. And it was the opposite of Italy entirely. And it was like, this is wonderful because I'm half German, right? So I'm like, this is my people, yeah, right? And so they take x-rays, you know, and do these things. And so it comes back, yeah, there's a fracture. And so we need to cast you. And I'm a left-hander, right? So we need to cast you and lock your thumb in so you can't move the bone because you're just going to keep hurting it if you keep moving it, right? It needs to be locked in, isolated, and casted from here down. And the guy was like, if you would have broken that bone, I would have cast you all the way up to your shoulder, like not let your elbow move at all for 6 weeks, and then 6 weeks from the elbow down, and then we could have, you know, healed that thing. Since it was just a fracture, 6 weeks, all right, thumb locked in. I no longer have the use of the opposable thumb on my dominant hand, which was hilarious, right? If you've never tried that, like do everything opposite-handed for a day, including like brushing your teeth with your opposite hand, and you just realize how funny things become, right? Okay, so 6 weeks go along. Things are getting better. You know, I'm managing all this stuff. Putting a shirt on was really challenging. Buttoning shirts, right, really challenging with only one hand, right, opposite hand, all those things. It's time for the cast to come off. Cast comes off, all right? And I'm like, okay, this is great. So they cut it off, and guess what? Healed, 100%, perfect? No, like I cannot move my hand. I can't move it. Because for 6 weeks, it's been locked in and all the ligaments have tightened in that position. All right? So the doctor's like, yeah, you're going to have to do extensive physical therapy. So I'm like, okay, well, let's get that started. So who's the physical therapist? A wonderful and beautiful blonde-haired, blue-eyed German lady, right? A Fraulein, right? And I'm like, okay, well, this isn't that bad. This is great. Okay. And this was the first session. The first session, she was like, okay, I'm going to start half hour. Guess what she does for 25 of the 30 minutes? She just massages my hand. I'm like, this is awesome. I love this. This is the best. physical therapy ever, right? Okay, that's how it started, very gentle, right? That's like the spiritual life. Okay, for a lot of us, the first movement of God is like this real gentle thing. His first movement of really trying to heal us is gentle, right? Guess where that went? Not so gentle the next time, because she started moving my hand, which had been very isolated and very locked into a position, even though it was healing and it needed to get moved. And so she starts pushing and then pushing and moving, and that did not feel good. In fact, it hurt a lot. And she's like, this is why I'm doing this, because your ligaments have become contracted and they need to get stretched out, and it's going to hurt. But it's the only way to restore you to the movement that you need to have. It's the only way to actually heal you, is to do something that hurts you. Friends, that's like the spiritual life. That's why this reading from Hebrews is so important. The Lord, who desperately wants to heal us, it's all he's about. He wants us to be completely healed, right? He does it, yes, in a comforting way, but that's just stage one, right? The Lord will meet us with great comfort. That's why, you know, he says things like, come to me, all you who labor and burden, I'll give you rest. He will, and he will, and he does. You come in your brokenness and your sinfulness. So many of you tonight in confession, that was beautiful, you know, and the Lord's so kind and so good and so gentle in that moment. But that's not the whole story. Because as he heals us and forgives us in that moment of confession, he also knows that we need to walk the path that will lead us to full freedom. And that path is not going to be an easy one. That path is not going to be a comfortable one. That path is going to push and stretch us in ways that we haven't been stretched for a really long time, because we've been locked in our woundedness and locked in our sinfulness. And we don't have freedom of movement anymore. Well, the Lord is that great therapist who says, all right, it's time to stretch. How does he do it? Precisely by disciplining us. And so the author of the letter to the Hebrews, he says, you've forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as children. It's addressed to you as children of a loving father. Children of a loving father. What's the exhortation? My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. You see, we have a good father in heaven. Every good father and every good mother knows that discipline is necessary. It is necessary for a child. Otherwise, you don't raise someone who can become a good and free and strong man or woman. If you don't discipline your children, you raise tyrants, selfish, spoiled brats. And that can be all of us, because we all have that tendency. Original sin warps us, wounds us, keeps us from being free to receive love and to give love. And for that to be fixed, discipline is necessary. The author goes on, endure your trials as discipline. God treats you as sons. He treats you as children. It's part of your formation. For what son is there whom a father doesn't discipline? At the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy, but for pain. Yet later it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who are trained by it. At the time, it doesn't seem a cause for joy, but for pain. Of course it does. This way, this discipline is a way of the cross, and it hurts. If we really offer ourselves to the Lord, if we really give our brokenness, it's going to hurt. It's going to cost us. It won't feel good. And yet, through that process, precisely through the cross, precisely through offering ourselves there, even when it hurts, and listen, especially when it hurts, what comes from that is the peaceful fruit of righteousness. The peaceful fruit of righteousness. Everybody wants peace. Of course you do. And how do you get it? You get it by the discipline of the Lord. And of course, discipline is so connected to the word disciple, which means to follow. We get peace by following Jesus, especially when it's hard. We get peace by following Jesus on the way of the cross, who stretches us, who expands our hearts, who teaches us how to open up, to move in freedom in a way that we live so as to offer ourselves in sacrifice. Feel good? I don't care if it feels good. I don't care if it feels bad. I honestly don't think God cares how it feels. Because God knows what it accomplishes. And what it accomplishes is freedom of heart. And the peace of having been loved and set free in a real, authentic way. So that we actually are capable of loving. We actually are capable of giving. We actually are capable of being like Jesus on the cross. Well, we're in that training, okay? It's training. There's going to be mistakes. We're not going to be experts at it. But we submit to the wisdom of the Lord who takes us along that path. And in that path is so much love and so much purpose, so much joy, and so much peace. Do not be afraid of the discipline of the Lord. Do not be afraid of his cross. He offers those things to you simply because he loves you.